We're holding on Memhei Omid Bey's five lines from the bottom. The Gemara had started a discussion yesterday about whether Matbeya Nase Chalipin. Now, we know there's a concept of Kinyan Chalipin. This time of year, we often think about it because we do Kinyan Chalipin. If we go in person to the Rav to sell the chametz, then we do a Kinyan Chalipin with him. So now the Gemara is in the middle of discussing, we're in a discussion which is going to extend over the next couple of dafim about various details about Kinyan Chalifin. The basic idea is Kinyan Chalifin is I have object A, you have object B, I'm giving you A, and in return, you're giving me B. Later on, we're going to have, when it comes to Kinyan Sudr, we're going to discuss on Daf Mem Zayin whose Sudr are we using and what the mechanism is. The halacha is that we use Kalev Shel Koneh, we use the keli that belongs to the Koneh. So, for example, when we sell the chametz to the Rav, he gives you the Sudr, and he gives you the Sudr, and in return, you're being maknehem your chametz, essentially. The first thing the Gemara was discussing over here then is whether instead of a sudr, whether you can use coins. So we started with Machlokas Rav and Levi, whether you can or not. We discussed how that relates to our Mishnah. And we said that you have to keep in mind in our Mishnah, when you have Hazav, Kones, a kesef, and a Kones, Hazav, when we're talking about gold and silver, which one acquires which? We can be talking about Betodas Chalifin. We can be talking about that one object is being used as the equivalent of the Suder, or we can be talking about that they're being used as respective amounts of value, one gold dinar being equal to 25 silver. So the Gemara had established that the Mishnah is specifically talking about when we're doing Betoras Damim, because again, according to the opinion that you can't use coins for Chalifin, then our Mishnah wouldn't work, because then you can't say that if I give you a gold coin, then automatically that creates a Kinyan on the silver, because according to that opinion, gold coins cannot be used for Chalifin. So now the Gemara continues, five lines from the bottom on Memhei Omid Beis. Rapapa says that even according to the opinion that says that a coin cannot be used as the object for Chalifin, meaning it can't be used in place of the Suder, the din would be, says Rapapa, it can't create Chalifin, in other words, can't be used as the Suder, but they could be acquired through Chalifin. Meaning, Rapapa is saying, if, for example, if I give you a Suder, then you would then that would be able to be machna to me the coins that you propose to give me in exchange. And Rapapa says, "Midi dehavi apera." After all, it's no different than being able to acquire Paris with Kinyan Chalifin. Lav Chalifin Maknu. Now, according to as we find with Peres, according to Rav Nachman, which Rav Nachman we're going to deal with in the continuation of the sugya. So Peres Rav Nachman lav afagav de'inu le avdi chalifin. When it comes to Peres, according to Rav Nachman, even though you can't use them for chalifin, later on the Gemara is going to explain, according to Rav Nachman, that you need davka keli to use as the object for chalifin, and Haters are not considered a keli. So even though he's saying that you can't use it as the object for chalifin, aknuye maknu b'chalifin, but you can acquire Paris with kinyan chalifin, even according to Rav Nachman, tivanami loishna. Therefore, a papa says logically it shouldn't be any different with coins, and you should be able to use coins. You should be able to acquire coins with chalifin, even if you can't use coins. So if you say that matbeya nasa chalifin in the machlokas Rav and Levi, if you say that we can that a matbeya can be used, well then for sure, no question, you can use it in either direction as the object for chalifin or as the object to be acquired by chalifin. But Rapapa is saying even the opinion that says you can't use coins for chalifin would say that you could acquire them by chalifin. So the Gemara says Mesvi. I have a contradiction on Rapapa. A braisa describes a case where now we know a person can redeem his maisa sheni, as we've been talking about in various places. The Torah tells us that if a person redeems, a person exchanges his own maisa sheni for money, then he has to add an extra 25%. Now, suppose a person doesn't want to do that. He wants to be able to redeem it at its regular market value. So the Braisa describes, Hoya Omed Bagoden, suppose that the owner of the produce is standing in the granary, and he has Maisa Sheni over there, which he wants to exchange for money, and then eventually he'll take the money to Yerushalayim. The Envi Yodei Mois, he doesn't have money with him right now. So now again, he doesn't want to add the chomesh. He wants to be able to have somebody else do the pidyon maisa sheni for him, and that way that other person will not have to add the chomesh. The in biyadei mois, he doesn't have money with him. If he had money with him right now, on the face of it, he could give it to the other guy. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. In what ways could he be makna to him? Anyway, oimel chaveri. So instead, he can say to somebody else. And that somebody else, Rashi explains, is going to be a friend of his. So where he knows, like this, he's going to be telling him, I'm giving you this as a matana. He's going to really, the guy is not going to take advantage and say, oh, well, it's a matana that I can do anything I want with it. This friend is going to realize you're only giving it to him as a matter of haroma, as a matter of to get around the matter of the chonch. So you tell him, Hare peiros halon and asunim l'chob matana. You tell him, these peiros are given to you as a gift. Then he says, now that they don't belong to me anymore, now that they're yours, so then I am machalo your maisa sheni on money that on coins that I have at home. So in other words, in effect, Reuven, the original farmer, is saying, I don't want to be poyed to this maisa sheni myself, because then I have to add a chomesh. Here, now this maisa sheni belongs to you, Shimon, and now, Shimon, I will do you a favor now that you've acquired that peiros, and I will do you a favor, and I'll be machal that maisa sheni on coins that I have at home. So that way it works, and then the braisa is saying that works, and then he doesn't have to give the chomesh. Now, taima de envi yodei mos. Now, what are we saying in the braisa? Only because he doesn't have coins with him right now, then he needs to use this method. Poim yesh biyodei mos, implying that if he had coins with him right now, then there would have been another way of doing it. Likni lahu le'idach b'mashicha. Then he could have had the other person acquire the coins with mashicha uporik, and that other guy would then go and redeem the maisa sheni with those coins. And the hochi odif, and that would be better than the method that the Braisa is suggesting, the havale nochri, because then the other guy is obviously not the owner of the property. Nochri, by the way, I mean, many times we use the word nochri to mean a goy, but equally often, often enough, in contexts like this, we use the word nochri just to mean an unrelated person, a stranger. In Yevamos, for example, we had a number of cases that involved nochri or nochris, where it meant a non-relative. So the same thing over here, that's what it means, in other words. Like this, when we use the method that the Braisa said, which is that he gives Shimon the peiros as a matana, and then he goes and is machalo those peiros, it looks very obviously like a haroma. Anybody who sees that going on is going to realize very obviously that they're doing it only in order to get around the chomesh. Whereas if we do the method that we're saying now, to be makna Shimon the money, and let Shimon be poyed to the maisa sheni with that, that looks much less like haroma. The fact is, it's true. The peiros never belonged to Shimon. So now he's going and being poyed. Then there's no. Then it looks less. It's less obvious that he's doing it in order to get around the chomesh. So that would be the preferable method if we could do that. But the fact is, and the implication is that if there were coins over there, he would be able to do that. The Braisa is saying only because he doesn't have coins, then right here, then therefore he has to use this method over here, even though it's less preferable. Now, if you're telling me, Rav Papa, that everybody's going to agree, between both Rav and Levi are going to agree that coins can be acquired with Chalifin, then fine. Let's say he doesn't have the coins available right now for the other guy to do Mashichan. So what's the problem? Why don't we use a Kenyan Suder to get the other guy the money? So Shimon will give Reuven his Suder. And then, and in return, Reuven will be machna him the coins. And we'll do it that way. And then the Lifrik, and now the money is in Shimon's hands to be able to do the the pidyon. The fact that the Braisa doesn't mention that, so the fact that it's saying if the money is not available on hand, then necessarily you have to use the method that the Braisa says to be makna him the peiros rather than which peiros you can be makna with meshicha rather than the coins. That seems to indicate that that coins cannot be acquired with chalifin, not like Rav Papa is saying. So the Gemara says the less lay sudur. You could say maybe that he doesn't have a sudur available to. He doesn't have a sudur available. Actually, a number of Mephoshim point out, the Maharam Shif point out that we would have to say that really neither of them has a sudur because, after all, if either one of them, so suppose that Shimon doesn't have a sudur, but Reuven does, fine. Reuven could be Makna Shimon the sudur, and Shimon does Meshich on it, and then it would work that way. So it would mean that neither one has a sudur. So the Gemara says, okay. But so now let's set aside. Let's set aside Rav Papa a second. According to Rashi, the next question now is going to be not so much on Rav Papa, but rather more generally on the Braisa. The Braisa is saying that the only way to be Machner, the only thing you can be Machner is the Paris, since they're here and you can do Mashiach on them, and there's no way to do the money. But the Gemara is going to ask, there's another way to be Machner him the coins. So the Gemara says, why don't we say that instead he can be makna him the coins agav karka? We learned in Kiddushin, and we've learned since then sporadically that nechosim she'in lehen achrayus, which is metaltlin, can mean nikne together with nechosim she'yesh lehen achrayus. So if Reuven gives Shimon a piece of property, then along with that he can give him also any kind of metaltlin, including coins. So why don't we have therefore that Reuven, the owner of this produce, is Makna Shimon some karka, and it doesn't matter the coins. As we learned in Kiddushin, we went through a sugya over there and we came out in conclusion that the coins or the whatever metaltlin don't have to be on the actual land that you're being Makna. So why is the Braisa saying that he has to be Makna him the Paris specifically? There's still a way for him to be Makna him the coins, namely by with Kinyan Agav. So he gives him a little bit of karka, and together with it go the coins. So again, according to Rashi, the question is not really so much on Rav Papa, the question is more generally on the Braisa. According to the Tosfos, it says that maybe not necessarily. The question would really be on Rav Papa. If you say Ein Matbeh Nikne B'Chalifin, then you could say that he has a sudur, but he doesn't have karka. But if you said, and therefore, if we would say a Kenyan sudur doesn't work for coins, karka would. But we could be talking about, let's say, as the Gemara is going to answer, that he doesn't have karka. But if you say that Makbeh Nikna B'Chalifin, and he has no sudur, and he, as the Gemara is going to say, he has no karka, then what does he have? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What do you mean he has no karka? The Braisa is saying that he's standing there in the granary. But Pashtos, we mean that's the granary of his field. The answer is okay, but go and change shaloi. Let's say it's not his own. It's not his own granary. So, say for example, he borrowed a granary from somebody else to thresh his grain, or to thresh grain that he bought from somebody else raw. Let's say he doesn't actually have a field, or you could have. Let's say maybe for example, he's an oris who works for a percentage of the crops, and he himself doesn't own the field. Gemara says ichbal tanalashmin and gabra atulai the less like klum. The less live like loom. So according to Rav Papa, what are you saying? In order to make this work, you would have to say that the Braisa is referring to somebody who's naked and has nothing, not literally naked, but in other words, you have a person who doesn't have a sudur and doesn't have karka. It's very unlikely. So why would the Braisa be talking about go to the trouble of telling us what to do in such an unlikely case? So therefore, more likely, we should assume that he does have karka or he does have a sudur. Therefore, that shows that even they do have a sudur, nevertheless, it wouldn't work because with as far as coins, because ein makbeah nikna machalifin. So if they have money available there in the garden, then fine. But otherwise, since they don't have money, then the only alternative is indeed for him to be makna him the payrus, and the payrus he can be makna to him with Kenyan sudur. So we'd be talking about that. In fact, one or the other of them does have a sudur, and therefore we can make that work. Tosfos in fact points out that even if you say makbeah nasa chalifin, then still the fact is the braisa would still be implying that you can't in this case, because we would be saying that so it means, in other words, actually, so we've done two things. We've schlugged up Rav Papa's point that you could be koina coins with chalifin. We would also have schlugged up the point in the original machlokas of Rav and Levi, whether you can use coins for chalifin. Then we're saying that then we're saying clearly that doesn't work either. Otherwise it would have been possible it would have been possible for him to have coins over there and use those for chalifin. Okay. And the Gemara says for Afra Papa Hodabay, and in fact, Rav Papa himself eventually changed his mind and realized that Matbeya cannot be used for Khalifin in either sense, not as the Kaili and not as what to be coined through Khalifin. As we find, he holded Rav Papa have like Tresa Alpha Dinri Bechizoi. Rav Papa had 12,000 dinar in Bechizoi. Bechizoi is an area nowadays it's part of Iran. Where it's where most of their oil wells are. They should help that they now get what's coming to them. Back then it was a place. There were Jews living there, but it was far from the main Jewish areas of settlement. The Jews at that time mainly lived in Bavel, which is nowadays Iraq, and Beit Chazoi is some distance away. So the Papa had some money over there that he owned. Whether it was a pekodin, he had previously deposited that money for safekeeping in Beit Chazoi. Akninu l'Rav Shmuel Bar Acha agab asifa de beise. What he did was Rav Shmuel Bar Acha was going to be traveling over there. Now the question is, if Rav Shmuel Bar Acha comes there and says, "Give me the money for Rav Papa," then they're going to say, "We don't want to, because what if it gets lost on the way or whatever?" First of all, you have to even prove that you're an agent of Rav Papa. But even if he does, they're going to tell him that there's the concern you may lose it on the way or something. Therefore they wouldn't want to give it to him, and they would be in the right to do so. The fact is that we've learned about this in we've learned about this in Gittin, we've learned about this in Baba Kama, that in fact if the money was lost on the way, they would be chayabach. So instead, akninu l'Rav Shmuel Bar Acha agav astifa debeise. So the papa was makna the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha with kinyan agav, using the sifa, using the threshold of his house. So kinyan agav. Now the money actually belongs to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha. Now the din would be that when he comes to the folks in Beit Chazoi and tells them to give him the money, then they would say, "Fine. As soon as we give you the money, now that you're the rightful owner of the money, as soon as we give it to you, we are potter from any further payment." And then that way they'll be fine with giving it to him. And he also, when Rav Shmuel Bar Acha came back, Nofak la'ape ad Tavach, then Rav Papa came out to greet him and came out all the way to a place called Tavach to greet him. Why he did that and why the Gemara mentions that point, we've learned before that Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim talk about different possibilities why he did that. One is just because he was so happy to get his money back. 12,000 zuz is a significant amount of money, after all, that he came to greet him and to be able to relieve him of the burden of having to be responsible for it all the way until he gets to the Papa's hometown. Another possibility that's brought up is now that he was makna him the threshold of his house, we learned this in Baba Kama, he wanted to make sure Rav Shmuel Bar Acha doesn't actually come to town and try to be koine that threshold, and then Rav Papa later on is going to have to buy it back from him. So instead, he went out to meet him far away from the city, where now he's not going to be able to make any kind of kinyan chazaka in that karka. He can now get his money from Rav Shmuel, and Rav Shmuel will be makna back to him the karka. Which, after all, karka you can acquire with kesef, so no problem. Then he can give him money and buy back his threshold. The point is that we see Rav Papa, if Rav Papa held Matbeya Nikna B'Chalifin, he wouldn't have had to do that. He didn't have to use Kinyan Agav and then have to go and meet him. He could have used Kinyan Chalifin. So we see that Rav Papa himself realized that you can't acquire coins with Kinyan Chalifin. Okay. And the Gemara continues now. So we had before, we had Rav and Levi arguing whether you can use Chalifin to whether you can use coins as the object for Chalifin. So now the Gemara brings more opinions that agree that you can't. V'chein omer Ula ein matbeya nasa Chalifin, v'chein omer Rav Asi ein matbeya nasa Chalifin, v'chein omer Rav Baba Chana omer Rav Yechanan ein matbeya nasa Chalifin. All these Amiroim, Ula, Rav Asi, and Rav Baba Chana in the name of Rav Yechanan, all agree that coins cannot be used as the object for Chalifin. Tosfos points out that the Gemara wanted to wait. The reason why the Gemara waited with bringing that all the way until over here is because first the Gemara wanted to deal with the question from which we ended up schlogging up Rav Papa's assumption that you can acquire coins with chalifin. And by the way, once we have that, that also schlogs up the opinion that says that that you could use coins as the object for chalifin, that whole story with the granary and Maaseh Sheni. Now that we did that, now the Gemara is continuing with more opinions that agree that you can't use coins for chalifin. So the Gemara says, "Eisvein of Abba la'ula." Okay, so among these Amoraim, we said was Ula, who said that you can't use coins as the object for chalifin. So now Rav Abba says to Ula, "I have a contradiction on that." A Braisa describes, "Hareisha hayu chamoru v'poylim tovim v'poylav tovim osa v'shuk." Suppose you have a person has previously hired donkey drivers to transport his grain or whatever, or his or things that he manufactured or whatever. Donkey drivers in those days, you could think of them as the equivalent of truck drivers nowadays. So he had previously arranged with them to transport some things of his, or workers that he had previously arranged with to do work for him, and now they're toven osev ashuk. Now in the street, they're demanding their pay from him, which he hadn't paid them yet. And right now, he doesn't have cash with him. So he goes over to a money changer and tells him, "Tenli b'dinner mois v'afarnasem. Give me a dinner's worth of mois, of prutas, of small coins. I don't have the dinner right now. V'ani alav choyofa dinner trisis mi mois sheyeshli b'besi. I will give you later on." And actually, by the way, points out the word over here that afarnasim, I will take care of them, means, in other words, I'll pay them and then get rid of them. Rashi points out anytime you're taking care of somebody can be called parnosa. It doesn't literally mean but afarnasim, like I'm gonna create parnosa for them, but it means, in other words, I'm gonna give them what they're owed, and then that way they'll go their way and then I'll deal with you later. Vani alal choyofa dinner trisis mimois sheyeshli b'beisi. I will later on give you a value of a dinar and a trisis, which is a small coin, from what I have in my house. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that yofa dinar means I'm going to give you a good quality dinar, and a trisis would be an extra little coin for your trouble. Now, the question is there an issue of ribis over here? On the face of it, he's borrowing money and promising to pay back more. So the Braisa says, im yesh lo mois mutter, if he has at home those kinds of coins that he's talking about that he wants from the money changer, then it's mutter, because we've touched on before and we're going to learn extensively in the next perek the whole concept of yesh loy, that when we talked about at the beginning of the perek about borrowing saw b'saw, borrowing a saw of grain and you're going to pay back a saw of grain. So we said yesh loy, if you have that, if you have grain in your house now, if you have a saw and just it's not available to you right now for whatever reason, then you are allowed to borrow and pay back a saw, because in effect you could have paid it back now if you had gone home and gotten. That's one of we're going to learn in the next perek, where the next perek is all about the dinim of ribis, and we're going to talk about that concept of yesh loy very extensively. Anyway, so here, yesh loy, he has mois at home that is not available to him right now, and these guys are nudging him. So therefore, so that would be mutter, v'im lav osir. If not, then the Braisa says it's osir, because then you have a problem of ribis by giving him the extra trisis. Now, one way of looking at it though is that when yesh loy, right now Rav Abba for the question is not assuming that the reason why it's mutter when yesh loy has to do specifically with the dinim with a heter within the dinim of ribis. There are two ways of looking at this matter of yesh loy. One way would be to say it is in fact a loan, but because yesh loy, then therefore this is one of those cases where such a loan would be mutter. The other way of looking at it is not really a loan at all. It's really just a business deal. He's going to be paying him back right away. In the sense that if we say that chalifin is going to take place over here, as soon as he takes the mois from the money changer, right away the money changer acquires that dinner of his that's at home. Which is how Kenyan Chalifin works. So if we say that, then the whole point of ribis, as we're going to learn in the next parak, is called schar hamtona, or in Aramaic, it's called aga neter, which means the fact that you paying the person extra for the fact that he's waiting for his repayment. In effect, that's what ribis is. You're saying, if I paid you back today, then I would pay you X amount because I'm making you wait for the payment. Therefore, I'm going to be paying you more to compensate you for that. And that's ribis. So here, if we say that it's working on the grounds of chalifin, there's no schar hamtana. As soon as he takes the mois from the money changer, right at that moment, the money changer acquires the dinner that he has at home, and all he has to do is actually bring him that dinner. So if we said that that worked, then that would be a reason why it would be mutter, as opposed to if he doesn't have mois at home, then there's nothing for the chalifin to be chal on, and therefore we would say it wouldn't work. So that's Rav Abba's question. If you're going to tell me that coins cannot be used for chalifin, as the object for chalifin, or even as Rav Papa had brought up before, the possibility to acquire them with chalifin, havalei halva, wouldn't this be a problem of halva? You're borrowing money, and you're going to pay back later. But also, so it would be also for him to pay back that to give him that extra that extra tresis later on. So the fact that we're saying it's mutter to give him that tresis, as long as he has the money at home, seems to indicate we're dealing here with kinyan chalifin. Well, kinyan chalifin, we're talking over here money. So how is that working? Ishtik. So Ulla was quiet. Omale. So then Ulla says to the papa. Ishtik. Omalei, so Rab Abba says to Ola, Dilma, maybe could you answer? Maybe the two cases of the Braisa, whether he has at home or whether he doesn't have at home, maybe we're talking about that the Shulchani and the Balabayas are both dealing with Proitatois. So Rashi explains that Proitatois are pieces of copper that don't have any design on them. We learned in the Mishnah about the concept of Asimon, which is exactly that. The point, well, according to Rashi, that's exactly what it was. According to Tosfos, we said an Asimon is a little bit different. But according to Rashi, an Asimon in our Mishnah had no design on it at all. So Proitatois over here would be basically the same thing. So it's not Proitatois with one test, which are small copper coins. These are basically more like copper slugs that have no image on them at all. So we could be talking about that they're not using coins at all. They're trading for one another. They're trading these little copper pieces that have no design on them at all. So according to Rashi, we'd be talking about that both of them, the Shulchani is offering, the Shulchani is offering that, and the Balabas is taking those. On the other hand, Tosfos asks why. I mean, the fact is, why do we have to assume that both sides are prototos? After all, Tosfos points out he has to pay his workers, and he can't pay them in prototos. So Tosfos says that actually what it can mean is that Tosfos actually says that, yeah, we could be talking about that it's both, that's prototos on both sides. And when he says tenli mois, he implies, you know, when he says give me mois and I'll give you back, etc. So the loshen of the braisa is implying that he's being mechayev himself in something that he has at home right now. So that would imply, in other words, that they are in fact both talking about prototos in order to make this work. Otherwise, again, if you're talking about money, then you can't acquire money with chalifin. So you could be talking about that both of them are dealing with prototos. Delek alayotiva. There's no image. There's no design on them at all. Va'idi peirahavu, and therefore both sides is considered like they're trading peiros. And peiros you can acquire with chalifin. So that would work. So the papa says to Ulla, I've asked you this question, but you know, now that I think of it, is it possible to answer that they're not dealing with regular coins, only with prototos, and therefore it would work? And Ulla says, as a matter of fact, yeah, you could. That is a very good answer, de Konami, because in fact, we can see it from the wording of the Braisa, the Katani Yofa Dino Tresis, because the Braisa had used the expression that he says, you give me mois, and I will give you Yofa dinner. Now, if he meant an actual dinner coin, then he would be using the expression dino yofa. The word yofa in Lashon Kodesh has a few different meanings. The basic meaning of it is beautiful, like you say, noif mesos kol haaretz. But in Gemara terminology, it can in fact mean beautiful, as in good quality, but it can also mean the value, the equivalent value of. So if he said dino yofa, then yofa would be an adjective, meaning, in other words, a beautiful dinner, a good quality dinner. When instead he says yofa dinner, then that means, that has the other meaning of yofa, means the amount equal in value to a dinner. So he said, then I'm going to give you that. V'loika utrisis, and then I'm going to give you the trisis as well. V'loika toni dinner yofa utrisis. He doesn't use the expression that I'm going to give you a nice dinner. So that implies, therefore, we are in fact talking about he's getting and he's offering prototypes rather than an actual dinner. He's not saying I'm going to give you an actual dinner coin, because in Mapbeya Nikna Machalifin, but rather he's going to give him prototypes which are not to the value altogether. The amount of copper in those prototypes is going to be the value of a dinner plus a trisis. So that works. So therefore, we don't have to say that that they're using coins for chalifin in either direction, because in fact there are no coins involved over here, only prototypes. Rav Ashi Yama La'olam Bedomim. Rav Ashi says you don't really need to say that. You could be talking about that there's actual coins involved over here. So Rav Ashi says you are like this. We were saying until now that it is true that the reason is so sort of Ashi is going to say it is true that we're dealing with prototypes, but that until now when we were talking about chalifin, we were talking about where we don't know, we haven't established the actual value of either side yet. When it comes to kinyan chalifin, not necessarily do we say that things have to have a one-to-one value. You can have where I'm trading to you something which is worth more, which is worth less, and it doesn't matter because after all, that's how Kenyan Sudr works. When you're makna, your chometz to the rav, your chometz is worth a lot more than the Sudr that you're being koina from him, but it still works. So if it was betardas halifin, then it wouldn't matter the respective values. So Rav Ashi is saying that here you're talking about even when they're dealing with the actual even when we're talking about the actual respective values over prototypes, it's true we are talking about prototypes which have no design on them and therefore have no and therefore they are considered peiros. But Rav Ashi is saying anyway, given to Islay, since he has such coins at home, this is the equivalent of we learned at the beginning of the parak, and we're going to learn in the next parak, where a person says, lend me money until my son comes, or until I find the key, meaning, in other words, that he actually has, because he has that kind of commodity at home, therefore there's no problem of ribis, because again, then he would be able to, in principle, he would have been able to pay him back right now because he does have it available to him. And therefore, there's no issue of ribis because, again, there's no agar netter. There's no making the other person wait for his payment. So Rav Ashi is saying, in other words, that even, for example, if it was produce, if it was sa b'sa, it would be mutter. So the same way over here, he's allowed to borrow a certain amount of coins and pay back. And pay back the same amount, and there's no issue of ribis. What about as far as the extra trisis? So Tosfos says, because then it amounts to, now it's not a halva. What Rav Ashi is saying is, even if it was a matter of halva, then it would be mutter to pay back the exact same amount without worrying about things going up and about currency going up and down in price, because again it would be the equivalent of sa b'sa when yesh loy, when he has that commodity available here, where it's not even a halva, where he's doing it derech mekach u'memkah, he's doing it in a way of buying and selling, then it would be allowed even when he's offering him an extra trisis. In any case, the point is, Rav Ashi is saying also that there's no issue of ribis over here. But more to the point, there's also no issue of chalifin over here. We're talking about an actual business deal. We're talking about where they're buying and selling, and therefore you're allowed to make a profit when it comes to buying and selling. There are Rishonim who learn that according to Rav Ashi, we're saying not like in the previous answer of Rav Abba, that both sides are giving each other prototypes. Now would be saying that Ramban and a number of other Rishonim explain that Rav Ashi's answer is saying that no, the Shulchani is giving him an actual dino's worth of actual coins. And like we said before, like Tosfos had said, after all, why would the Balabas want prototypes? He can't use those to pay his workers necessarily. They want actual coins. So therefore, Rav Ashi's answer deals with that difficulty. He is giving them actual coins, which he gets from the Shulchani, and he's paying back with prototypes. So since he's doing that, therefore that's what Tosfos is saying. In effect, what we have here is a sale, rather we have derech nekach u'memkor. It's a sale rather than a loan, and therefore, even with an actual loan of sa b'sa, it would be mutter because yeshlai, and all the more so over here where it's talking about where it's not really a loan, but rather than a sale, then it's mutter, and he's even able to add the extra trisis and not have any issue. So that's a number of Rishonim explain Rav Ashi's answer that way. Rashi and Tosfos don't Rashi and Tosfos still follow the idea that Rav Ashi is still talking about that each one is giving prototos to the other, and Achronim discuss how exactly that would work. Rav Ashi is saying that where Pnei Yeshua gives an explanation. That the idea would be that he's allowed to pay back more prototypes, because in other words, in effect, what he's the Shulchani is doing him a favor and making that he doesn't have to schlep back home in order to get the money. It's not considered ribis because there's no agar netter over here, because again, it's not like he's making the other guy wait for his money. The money is available right now at home. And he's koneh, he's not koneh because there's no chalifin involved over here. Because again, you can't use coins as the medium for chalifin or to acquire them with chalifin. But still, in this case over here, where both sides are prototypes, then Rashi and Tosfos would explain that there's no issue of ribis because it doesn't have any appearance of ribis, and therefore, because there's no coins changing hands over here, and therefore it would be allowed. And the Pnei Yeshua goes on and discusses more details about that. Anyway, the point is that all of this, so this Braisa, here, Rav Abba had brought this Braisa seemingly contradicting the idea of Ein Makbeya Nasa Chalifin, but now we're saying not necessarily. We are, in fact, dealing over here in the Braisa with prototypes, whether on one side or on both sides, and therefore there's no issue. Therefore, we're not talking about money being acquired or being used to acquire things with Chalifin either. Okay. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof as far as this matter of using coins for chalifin. Abraisa says, actually, this was a mission. Actually, we learned in Kiddushin. Kol anase domim ba'achar. Anything that is made to be used as money on behalf of something else. Now, at this point, the Gemara assumes that means coins that are used as the standard of value against which everything else is measured. And the Mishnah says, kivin shezocha zeh, once one person is zoicha in the one object, nischayiv zeh b'chalifa, then the other one is required to give him the thing that was exchanged for it. Now, kol anasa domim ba'acha mainu, what do we mean, kol anasa domim ba'acha? Sounds like it means what if something that we evaluate the value of everything else relative to that, mainu matbeya, namely coins, because coins are the standard of value, and you figure out everything else. You have to remember, I think we've mentioned before, we usually think of it as, for example, you know, the value of the dollar goes up, the value of the dollar goes down. In halacha, it's kind of the other way around. We say the dollar is always a dollar. The amount that it will buy goes up and down. Everything else changes relative to the value of the dollar, whatever currency we're dealing with. Anyway, so if we're saying that kol anasa domim ba'acher means coins, then it sounds like we're talking. So if we say coins, or shmamin amapeh anasa chalifin, well, there you go. In other words, the Mishnah would be saying that you can, that Reuven gives Shimon a coin, and in return for that by kinyan chalifin, then Shimon is required to give him whatever it is that they agreed on. So, and Tosfos points out, now there could be, again, when it comes to exchanging money for goods, you could have two different ways. You could have kinyan damim, where you're saying this thing is worth X amount of money, so therefore I'm going to give you X amount of money and you'll, and then I'll buy that thing. That for sure, everybody agrees, is not a valid kinyan. Coins are not, money is not koine betodas damim, except only by karka and avodim and things like that. We're going to discuss later on Zion and Mabez why that's so, whether it's daraisa or whether it's darabanan, but anyway. But you can also have betodas kalifin, that you're saying we don't care about the actual respective values. We're saying the same way again, as by kinyan sudur and chometz, we don't care about the respective value of the sudur versus the chometz. The same way over here, maybe we don't care about the respective value of the coin versus the object. So maybe then the Mishnah is saying at least the betodas chalifin, that when we're using chalifin as the medium of exchange, then that would work. Even to use coins, or shmamin amakbeh nasa chalifin, that would show that a coin can be used for chalifin. Now Tosfos also brings up a point, by the way, that the Gemara is going to explain later on. We're going to have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, why it is that Rabbi Yochanan is going to hold minat Torah, money does work, but Torah's domim, to acquire something. The Chachamim said not, because you then, once he sells him and receives his money, then he has no incentive to save the goods. If let's say, for example, the goods, the wheat, to give the example in the Gemara later on, is in his storehouse, and a fire breaks out, once he's received his money, he has no incentive to try and save it, because look, it's not mine anyway, and I already received my money for it. Therefore, the Chachamim say, let him do Mashicha, let the buyer do Mashicha, and that way, in other words, until Mashicha is done, it still belongs to the seller, so now he has an incentive to save it, so he'll eventually get his money. Now, if we say over here, that you could use, if as the Gemara is saying, you could use coins for Chalifin, then don't you still have that same problem? And the answer is Tosfos says it's unlikely. It's not very likely to do kinyan chalifin using money, because after all, you want to buy or sell for the actual value of the thing rather than to just use coins as the method to do chalifin with. And therefore, it's not likely enough that such a thing is going to happen that there should be a problem in the first place. And then on the other hand, when it comes to kinyan sudur, if I care, because he hasn't yet received any money from it, therefore he's concerned, I better go save that wheat, otherwise the guy's not going to want to pay me later on. So by cases of kinyan sudur or other such kinyanim, it will work, and you don't have that problem. But here, if you're going to use coins themselves for chalifin, it could work, but the question is, that implies you could use coins for chalifin. But here, Ula and all the other Amiroim were saying you can't. The answer is Amar of Yehuda Hachkam. No, because the Mishnah, when it says kolan nasa damim ba'acher, it doesn't mean coins which are used as the standard by which everything else is valued. It means kolan nishan damim ba'acher. It means anything which is regularly evaluated to see how much it's worth in order to trade it for something else. So in other words, all metalvin. And faket, in other words, the idea would be that the Mishnah is using that expression precisely in order to exclude coins, because coins, you don't need to value how much they're worth. We know how much coin is worth. Anyway, so then the Mishnah would be saying that when it comes to metalvin, where you have to evaluate how much they're worth, kiven shazachan zan ischayv zeva chalifin, then once one is zoicha in the object, then the other one is zoicha in the other object that's being traded for it. So it would be saying that metalpin you can acquire with chalifin, but not necessarily coins. The Mishnah is not taking anything else. The Mishnah is not addressing the matter of using coins, because in fact, according to this opinion, you can't use coins for chalifin. Rashi explains, in other words, the point of the Mishnah would be that you don't really require a keli for the kinyan chalifin. It's enough, for example, let's say a machlas para b'chamer, it's enough to say that you did mashicha on the para, and automatically the other guy is acquiring the chamer. You don't necessarily need a keli in order to do the kinyan. Rabbeinu Chananel actually over here gives an explanation. Kol nishim dom ba'acher means, in other words, the Gemara is saying that when people are trading something, they usually are going to figure out the respective values of them. You're not going to have that a person is going to want to trade something that's worth very little for something else, or to trade something that's worth a lot and get back for it only something that's worth very little, and therefore that would be the what what the Mishnah is. That would be what the Mishnah is telling us. The kol nishim domim ba'achar, things where you need to figure out the respective values of them in order to make sure that you have a fair trade. Then those are the kinds of things that you're acquiring one thing with chalifin with the other. So now again, Rashi is saying over here that you could So now the point is, though, we would be holding according to the opinion that you don't need a kavi. Now later on, we're going to have a machlokas. We'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, a machlokas of Sheshes and of Nachman, whether you do need a kavi for chalifin. So according to Rashi, and then the Baal Amor also agrees with this and says that when we say over here that the kol nishim domim ba'achar would include even behema and peiros and things like that, you could use all those for chalif, and that would be a point of sheshes. So Nachman would have to understand it differently, because according to him, you need an actual kavim. Then there are Rishonim who learn differently, and they say that even Rav Nachman, when he says you can't use a keli, he means, for example, you can't use peiros or things like that that could be eaten, but you could, for example, use a live animal. That would be considered a keli, even according to Rav Nachman, because after all, an animal can be used for plowing, and therefore would be considered a keli. So the Gemara says, Hochi nami mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand the way Rav Yehuda is saying that the Mishnah is not telling us about using coins for chalifin, but rather of using objects for one for another. Midikatani sefer, because after all, the Mishnah continues. Ketzad, what does this mean? How does chalifin work? Hechlif shur b'para or chamur b'shur. If a person traded a shur for a para or a chamur for a shur, then once one is coin of the one, then the other is automatically coin of the other. So we see, therefore, that we're talking about not coins, we're talking about other metalcoin. Okay, shemami not, that proves it. Well, the Gemara says, well, amai besolak adaita me'ikra makbeya. Well then, let's revisit then the havamina that we thought that we are in fact talking about using coins for chalifin. My ketsa, then how would the end of the Mishnah fit with the beginning? If the beginning is telling us that you can use coins for chalifin, why would the sefer then be talking about a shur and a pora and a chamur? And the Gemara says, according to that opinion, hochi kama, the Mishnah is telling us two different dinim. Peira nami abdi chalifin. First, the Mishnah would be telling us that you can use coins for chalifin. And then, in addition, peiri nami abdi chalifin. You should know that peiris can also be used for chalifin. Kates and hechlif shor v'para or chamur b'shor. So that would be an example. In other words, so the Mishnah would be saying, in other words, like this, telling us two different dinim. Number one, according to the Hava, you could use makbeya, and if you used makbeya as chalifin, that would work. And how does chalifin in general work? Is, for example, a machlif shor v'para. So the Mishnah would be telling us two things. Number one, that you can use coins, and a separate din that you can also use payas. which, by the way, Rashi also mentions over here that the correct gusa there in the Mishnah would be shur b'chamur or shur b'poro or whatever, rather than b'sar shur. There was a gusa in front of Rashi that says that he's using b'sar shur, he's using the meat of the ox as chalifin, and Rashi says no, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. It has to be a live shur. Rashi is explaining it's not necessary to say b'sar shur, because even the live animal would be considered payless. Again, as we said, other Rishonim disagree with that, and Tosfos explains also like that no, a live shur is considered a keli, and therefore even Rab Nachman, who says later that you need a keli for chalifin, would say that you could use a live shur for the purpose. When you come to the meat of a shur, that's different, that's payless, and then only Rav Sheshes would allow you to use that for chalifin, and Rab Nachman would not. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rav Sheshes. So all of this works according to Rav Sheshes. De'omar, where he says, further on in the Sugya, Peri Avdi Chalifin. He says that you can use Peris as the object for Chalifin as well. Now, where do we learn the whole concept of Chalifin from? Is we learn from the story in Megillas Rus, where Boaz and the other Goyal are making a deal over there. Boaz says to the Goyal, you know, you're more closely related to Naomi and Rus than I am, so you should be the one to buy back the field that Naomi had to sell because she was poor, and in addition, marry Rus, who was waiting for Yibum, and then should be a schus for her husband's neshama. And the goyel says, I can't. He's concerned about marrying Rus because the halacha of Amoni, or the halacha of Ma'avi, v'lei Ma'avis, was not so well known at that point. And he's concerned that it's going to cause a Laz and his children. So he says to Boaz, you do it instead. So then the Pasuk describes that they did a kinyan chalifin. And they used na'al, the Pasuk says, they used a shoe or targum, targum over there, translates it over there as it means a glove. Whatever, the point is that it's a keli. So Rav Nachman says it means you dafka have to use a keli. Rav Sheshes disagrees and says you can use even peiros. So if we're saying that the Mishnah in Kiddushin is saying kol anishim domim ba'achar, anything that has a value and that's evaluated against something else and then you can use it and that includes peiros, then fine. Rav Sheshes understands the Mishnah very clearly. And we can say that, again, the Mishnah is telling us two different things. Either as we originally assume, the Mishnah is telling us you can use coins or you can use a parah, or whether we're saying that in the end the Mishnah is telling us you can't use coins for chalifin, but you could use a parah. Either way, that works nicely according to Rav Sheshes. El Rav Nachman to Amakli Ein Abu Peir Lei Abdi Chalifin. Rav Nachman, who says that you can only use a keli, but you can't use peiros as the object for chalifin at all. So my ketzad, how would he understand the ketzad of our Mishnah? How would he say that, the Mishnah is going on to say, ketzad hechlif shor v'para, or chamor v'shor, so then you use it. So according to Rashi, the question is that you're using something which is considered peiros, because according to him, even a live animal would be considered peiros. And according to Tosfos, the vote would be that we're not asking on the maskana that you can use a cow for chalifin, because fine, according to Rav Nachman, a cow would be considered a keli. The question is, how do we even have a havam in, according to him, that we could be talking about money in the first place? And the answer is hachi kama. Rav Nachman would understand the Mishnah to be saying like this: Yesh domim shehin kachalifin. Sometimes you have, even though they're doing a monetary exchange, they're exchanging two things which have approximately equal value, and the deal is your para is worth X amount and my chamor is worth X amount, and we're going to trade them. So sometimes, even though you're doing it as domim, nevertheless it works in the way that chalifin does without requiring any further mashicha, namely ketzad hechlif dmei shor para dmei chamor b'shor. What happens if they're trading the value of a shor for the para or the value of a chamor for a shor? So, for example, let's say previously, Reuven had sold Shimon a shur, where the deal was that he was going to pay him X amount of money. So Reuven had bought the shur and done mashiach on it. Now he owes Shimon X amount of money. Now later on, Reuven says to Shimon, you know what? Instead of giving you the money, I have a donkey or I have a para available that I could give you instead to pay off that debt. So once they both agree, so now we're saying kol anishim domim ba'achar, when we evaluate the value of something and we're saying I'm going to give you instead of the actual cash, I'm going to give you an object some other object. So once the first one, once he was zoicha and the metalpilin are showing him, then automatically the rest of it follows. So once Reuven was zoicha and not sure, once he did a kinyan, I'm not sure. Now when they follow through with the rest of the deal, as a result of that, here I owed you 100 for the shirt. Instead, I'm going to give you a part of which is worth 100. Then right away that works. And Shimon is koina, and Shimon is koina the part of. So according to Rav Nachman, that would be what the, and neither one can take it back. And if the animal dies, it's already considered in Shimon's Rishus and so forth. So in that way it works, even though on the face of it, it was a Kinyan Kesef, but in fact, it's really just a continuation of the Chalifin that they said that it's really the Kinyan Kesef has been turned into a Kinyan Chalifin, and therefore that works. So therefore, according to Rav Nachman, that would be what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Okay, the Gemara says, my time is Rav Nachman. Now, why does Rav Nachman say that should work? I, after all, if you can't acquire metalin with coins, then how in this case does it work? And the reason is because Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Nachman holds in this regard, like Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan holds that min haTorah money would be a valid method of acquiring something. Why did the Chachamim instead say that you need Meshicha? Because the Gzera, we say we don't want the seller to say afterwards, your wheat was burnt in my upper chamber, that was the storehouse, meaning, in other words, like we said before, once he received his money, he may figure he'll wash his hands of the whole thing, and if anything happens to it, it's not his problem. So we don't want that. We want to give him an incentive to save the other guy's property in order that he'll get his money. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, "We'll set the shchicha gozer beirabanan." The Chachamim make the gzeiras only on more common situations. When a person, the usual situation would be that a person buys X amount of wheat and is going to pay a certain amount of money for it. But an uncommon thing like this, where originally he owed him X amount for the wheat or for the potter or whatever, and now he's saying, you know what, instead of that X amount in cash, instead I'm going to give you an object of mine which is worth that amount. It's an uncommon situation, and therefore Rav Nachman would say the Chachamim did not make the Gzeira in that case. So therefore, in that case, in effect, we would go back to the original din of the Torah that Mois Koinus. Okay. Now, what about Uluda Shlokish, Dama Mashikha Mufureshis Minatura? Now, though, we have to ask, what about when it comes to what about according to Rish Lakish, who disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan and says Meshicha Mufuresh is Minatorda? He says Minatorda, you have the concept of Meshicha, the concept that money acquires according to Rish Lakish doesn't exist in the first place. Already Minatorda, you have to do Meshicha in order to be koine. So Hanicha Yisavu Lakir Rav Sheshes, Matarit Lakir Rav Sheshes. So if Rish Lakish will agree with Rav Sheshes, then fine. He's going to explain the Mishnah before Lakir Rav Sheshes. We're not talking about where there was an original deal and now he wants to transform the deal into, instead of I'll give you cash, I'll give you this object, I'll give you this para. Instead, he's explaining that Rav Sheshes in the first place that you can do Khalifin using a shirt or using a para. So then if he holds like that, then good. Eli Yisavu Lakir Rav Nachman, but if Rish Lakish holds like Rav Nachman, Dama Peirah Lei Abdi Chalifin, where Rav Nachman says again that you can't use Peirah for Chalifin, and again, according to Rashi, the point is, therefore, that a Shur would in fact be considered Peirah, and according to Tosfos, rather, we would say that the question would be on the original Havamina of the Gemara about using coins. So Heichim Bitaritz Law. So how would Rish Lakish understand that Mishnah? And the answer is, you're right. Alkocha could have Sheshes Mataritz Law. Of necessity, we're going to have to say that Rish Lakish would have to agree with Rav Sheshes's understanding of the Mishnah. It's true. You can't. It's true. You would not be able to say that Rav Nachman that Rish Lakish would agree with Rav Nachman's point that you can't use Peiris for Chalifin, because according to him, there'd be no way to make that Mishnah work. Because again, to say that it would work according to Rav Nachman requires us to say that there's a case where Mois Koinus, and according to Rish Lakish, there's never any such case, because according to him, Mois Midaraisa are not Koinus, only Meshicha. So the Gemara says, So now let's go back to this whole matter of Matbeya Nasa Chalifin. Now that we went through this whole thing of how we explain that Mishnah and Kiddushin in light of the, according to the opinion, the Matbeya Nasa Chalifin. So now let's go back and deal with that Machlokas and deal with another Mishnah that seems with our Mishnah that seems to bear on that. Tnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Kol Metaltlin Koinin Zaseh, all Metaltlin can acquire one another. And that means, in other words, that you can do kinyan chalifin between metaltlin. The omer Rish Lakish. Now Rish Lakish says that means v'apilu kis mole mois v'kis mole mois. It means that even if you have Reuven and Shimon each have a purse full of money. So when one does meshicha on one of them, then the other one is the other one is koina the other purse right away. Now, on the face of it, we're talking about kinyan chalifin. Again, you can't use money to acquire metaltlin. So of necessity, we have to be talking about that these two purses. How are Reuven and Shimon trading them by kinyan chalifin? Well, that would show that Matbeya Nasa chalifin, because we're talking about purses full of money. But Pashtus, we're not talking about that the actual purse itself is being used as the object for chalifin. But Pashtus, we're talking about that the coins themselves are being used for that. So in that case, then that would support the opinion that Matbeya Nasa chalifin. And the Gemara says no. Two Gemara of Acha, Bedina Ankava Anigra. because Rav Acha explained that the Rish Lakish is not talking about regular coins that circulate, but rather talking about Anka and Anigra coins, which do not circulate. They're not, so one purse is full of Anka coins and the other one is full of Anigra coins. What do those terms mean? Echad shepsalatu malchus, ve'echad shepsalatu medina. One purse is full of coins that have been disqualified by the government. The government ordered that this kind of coinage is not to be used anymore. You could have, for example, back then it was very common coinage of a king would have his picture on it and have his other information on it. It was meant as almost like a moving billboard. Anybody who uses that coin realizes this is a legitimate king. And that comes up in halacha, by the way, when people use a particular coinage of a king, it shows that they accept him as a legitimate king. If they don't accept his coin, it means that he's just considered basically like a robber or a warlord or something. Anyway, so you might have, for example, there was a coup, they overthrew the previous king, and now there's a new sheriff in town, and therefore he ordered that the coins of the previous king are not to be used anymore. Salatu Medina would mean that the people of a certain country no longer, so now the first kind, though, you'll still have, openly, nobody will use it anymore, but people will still use it on the black market. Then Salatu Medina would be where the people in the kingdom decided that we don't want to use this that we don't want to use this coinage anymore. For example, you could have the opposite where they're rebelling against him and they don't want to use his coinage anymore, but that the government didn't put out any official edict to that effect. So now, therefore, Rav Acha says those are the kinds of coins where Rish Lakish is saying the Mishnah is implying that it's possible to trade one for the other and use them for chalifah. And Utsricha, the Gemara points out, Rav Acha had to inform, had to tell us about both kinds. De'iyash minim salatu malchus, if he only told us about the kind where the government ordered that these coins are not to be used, you would say, Mishum de'le sagi klal. The reason is because there's no province in the kingdom where such coinage is going to be accepted because the king ordered that it's not to be used anymore. Av salatu medina, but where it was only disqualified by one country, one particular area of the kingdom is in revolt. The sagile medina achriti. Now you could take that coin and spend it, and it would be accepted in other parts of the kingdom. Ema akati matbeah husi. You could argue it still has the status of a matbeah, but ein matbeah nitni machalifin. And as we've been saying so far, according to most of the amiroyim, you cannot acquire coins with chalifin, therefore it shouldn't work. The iashmin salatu medina. On the other hand, if Rav Acha told us only about Psalata Medina, you would say, Mishum Dele Sagila Levitsina Vele Pahesia. Because when Psalata Medina, you're not going to be able to use it in that particular part of the kingdom at all. Nobody wants it, either openly or even on the black market, because everybody hates the kingdom. Aval Psalata Malchus, but when the government disqualified it, now it's true. Officially, it's no longer legal tender anywhere in the kingdom. But Disagile Vitsina. People will still use it in secret and private transactions on the black market. So then, Ema Akati Matbeahu, you could argue it still has the status of a Matbeah, Ve'en Matbeah Nikna Machalifin, and again, Chalifin wouldn't work to acquire such coins. Tzricha, and therefore Rav Acha tells us that either kind, Psalatu Malchus or Psalatu Medina, is no longer considered coinage, and therefore the rules of Ein Matbeah Nasa Chalifin don't apply to it anymore, and you could in fact acquire one for the other, or you could trade a purse full of one kind for a purse full of the other kind, and it would work as Kenyan Chalifin. Again, the idea being a person might say, well, I'll travel to a different part of the kingdom and I'll spend it there, or the other person will say, you know what, I'll spend it in secret on the black market over here. Either way, the point is that still, because it doesn't circulate like regular money does everywhere in the kingdom, then therefore it's not considered money anymore. It's considered metaltlin, and metaltlin you can acquire with chalifin one to the other. So that doesn't show that matbeah nikna machalifin. That shows that in this case where it's not considered matbeah, then you can use it for chalifin. So no contradiction against the Amiroyim who hold otherwise, but in fact the halacha is that a matbeah cannot be used for chalifin and cannot be acquired with chalifin, which is why we said before you need if you want to be makna money, then you need various other ways. You need kinyan agav. Tosfos brought up earlier in the sugya, on the face of it, you could have kinyan odissa. Sometimes you can say verbally in front of Edim, I am moida that I owe you this money, and therefore, and then that would be a way of being machneh. You have in the case where it's a debt, you have a concept that the Gemara talks about in some places called Maimad Shloshtan, where the two people, Reuven, who owes the money, Shimon, to whom he owes it, and Levi, to whom he wants to transfer the debt, all stand together, and he's machneh that way. So you have various ways of being machneh coins, but not by Kinyan Chalik. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk more about these dinim of Kinyan Chalifin and some basics about how it works and why it works.